applies with special emphasis to the need for not just not losing hope, but growing in a hope in today's world. There is so much sin, so much evil, even in high places, so much infidelity, so many broken homes, broken hearts. I never tire repeating, the 20th century is the most murderous century in human history. Nothing like it. In recorded human channels ever before. And that is why the present Holy Father keeps repeating, we need not just to retain our hope or sustain our hope. We must grow and become healed, channels of hope in the many sectors of our society. Is becoming a hopeless world. During my instructions to the prosecutor, Richard Thompson, who prosecuted Kevorkian, and as we know, Kevorkian won the lawsuit. He found himself as a murderer of people. That's his medical profession, killing people. The only faith, Thompson told me, and I see in the world that still provides the reason for living is Catholicism. And we know most of you know the best way to approach a massive subject is to ask three standard questions. What, why, and how? What is a virtue of hope? Why do we so desperately need to not just sustain, but grow as we've never gone before in our hope? And then the retreat home. Speaking of the natural level, just as every human being, if that person is still natural, believes. So every human being, if he or she is still natural, hopes. Often is hope on the most basic generic level. Hope is a confident desire of obtaining some future good. A confident desire of obtaining some future good. On that level, a rational human being has hope. Well, then the hope we're talking about is not merely the natural virtue. It is, as We are then saying the power that God Himself to the Holy Spirit gives our souls when we are baptized. Consequently, it is a power indeed, but a supernatural power. A power we do not have by our nature. It is then a supernatural virtue is first the firm trust in God. Firm trust in God to do two things: to bring us to the heaven in the life to come, and to provide us this side of eternity with the means we need to reach heaven. Once more, supernatural hope is a firm trust in God. And the God, of course, in whom we first must believe. Our hope is only as strong as our faith. Trusting in God. Trusting that He will provide us. Give us that which, as believing Christians, we look forward to in our souls and our bodies. Our confident trust that we will reach heaven. We're not there yet. And consequently, the virtue of supernatural hope includes a confident trust that God will provide us with the means we need to reach heaven. All of this is locked up in the meaning of the virtue, the superhuman virtue of hope. Note the distinction which I've ever tried making and teaching the theology of the virtues. We distinguish between trust and hope. We trust in God, and we hope that He will give us what He knows we need. And here it is. We trust only people who believe. Back again to that fundamental virtue of faith. We are believing we are loved, the more hopeful we are. The less believing in God, hear it, the more hopeless we become. Faithless people are hopeless people. But before we leave the question, what? Let's make sure we know this is a supernatural virtue. In other words, we are not naturally hopeful. And we are naturally hopeful on the level of reason, because of our fallen human nature. But we have hope, the virtue of hope, only because of God's grace in other words the hope was to reach heaven and how crucial this is we hope to have the necessary means of getting there in our 50 plus years in the priesthood I've dealt with more people who are despairing than I can spend days in describing. In other words, the virtue of hope is not only the confident desire of reaching heaven, it is the confident desire that we have the means available for reaching heaven. All of this is locked up in the question, what? Why do we need the supernatural virtue of hope? First, because the heaven to which we aspire, the eternal reward, we first believe in. In other words, we need God's grace. And there's one reason, and there are a thousand reasons, and there is one reason why we should share our faith with others, is to provide them with a foundation for their hope. Now St. Paul tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Why do we need this virtue of hope? Because we're all naturally weak. We're all naturally fearful. In other words, we're all naturally scared. Scared of what? Scared of the future. Let's be more concrete. Why do we need this virtue of hope and grow in this virtue? Because we've all sinned. What's more, my dear fellow sinners, now, good evening. We know we have sinned. We know we have deserved to lose God's friendship. We know. Why do we need to grow in His virtue of hope? I don't know anyone in chapel who wants to grow in the virtue of hope than I do. Why do we need to grow in His virtue? Because at the heart of the spiritual life is carrying the cross. Christ could not have been painter. You will be my disciples. Take up your cross daily and follow me. As I've said so many times, The cross is not mainly a noun, it's a verb. The will of God crossing our wills. And by now we should have it memorized. What is pain? Pain is everything contrary to our wills. Every day, in every way, so many things, so many persons, so many situations shall I see arise that are contrary to our wills. And that's what the cross is all about. We need to be assured that in spite of so many experiences you will realize on your mind that are contrary to our wills, so much people will experience only God knows what is still in store for us. We do not, I don't say despair, even weaken in our trust in God. We need to grow in this indispensable virtue in today's so widely hopeless world. I like to say this. I'm quoting from my fellow Jesuit, St. Claude Colombier. Said St. Claude, speaking to God, I have seen so many scenes of heaven unfold. Lord, strengthen my trust in you and my hope in your promises. How much I could tell you while these years of heaven unfolding. Lord, keep me sane in my faith. Keep me trustful in your promises. You know, the main question, the retreat has been said more than once. Is not mainly what we've so far covered in our reflections on the virtue of hope. And it is mainly to inspire us to put into practice what we know is the truth. You're all weak. You're all fearful. And the more deeply we've sinned, the more spontaneously fearful we are. I'm assisted to many dying persons on their other deathbeds. Have to reflect, facing eternity, on their past life. The more clever the devil is, tempting often very holy people to discouragement and even despair. We have a duty, therefore, not just to preserve our hope, You must grow in our hope and hear it. Only hopeful people bring hope to other people. As I've said so often, God uses us as channels of His grace to others, and the measure of our grace in our own lives, the more firm, strong, fierce our own hope, the more God will use us to bring that hope to others. Each answer will begin with a bye. We go now, virtue of hope, by the practice of patience. Second, by making acts of trust and confidence in God. How do we grow in our hope? By resisting temptations to discouragement. Fourth, I'm repeating this for a good reason, by making a daily examination of conscience. And finally, and crucially, by seeing everything in our lives as part of God's loving providence. And some at our disposal, we order these ways in which we are to grow in our hope. First, by the practice of patience. I must have said it by now to some of you 20 more times. Patience is a voluntary acceptance of pain. Patience is a voluntary acceptance of pain. We need to suffer. In Latin, pati. You need suffering, I need suffering. Without suffering, patience is a dream. Consequently, expect suffering. Accept misunderstanding. Expect difficulties. Expect rejection. How happy I am to report, having lost my residence at that Jesuit home for those at Detroit University. I got residence in the Jesuit rectory. 2 years ago, had a full-size room all to myself. Now I have a small corridor with just a few feet, my bed to the door. It's my residence. I am seeing the depths of my heart. Do not be surprised. Don't be shocked. And others, what a safe statement, will not always accept you. You practice, as we'll see in our next conference, heroic charity. But don't expect that from everyone in your life. Hope grows. I need it. Hope grows through the voluntary acceptance of suffering, otherwise known as patience. Second way, we were talking about the how do you grow in this indispensable virtue of hope? By making acts of confidence. And the more the Lord provides you with the grace of suffering, the more you must cultivate the habit of having acts of confidence, of trust in the word of hope, in His love. My Jesus, I trust in you. My Lord, I hope in you. And this is especially needed when the trials in your life are beyond human, I don't say acceptance, but even beyond human endurance. That's why God sends us trials. We suffering. Do you hear me? We need it. And suffering, as you know, is simply the rational and for us believing acceptance of pain. We need pain. You need it, I need it. Otherwise, forget it. There is no virtue of patience without suffering. Without patience, there can be no hope. Let me come back to make sure we know what we're talking about. We're talking about hope, which is a supernatural virtue. Trusting that God will bring us to that heavenly destiny for which we were made, and who on earth will provide us. That's the Lord who provide us with all the means we need to remain firm and constant. I don't say in spite of our suffering, but I'll say it because of our suffering. You need pain, I need pain. We need people. We need situations. We need the thousand ways in which our will is contradicted. So by trusting in God, and we persevere, and remember, our meditation is not persevering hope, but growing hope. And the deeper and stronger the virtue hope that God wants you to have, the more suffering He will give you. Praise Father. Can't you shift your subject? Sorry. Over the years, I've had enough people walk out on lectures I've given. Think about the nun here in Chicago. Some 400 nuns I was talking to. And they were all still wearing their religious habits. So I just thought, knowing what was going on, I should tell them, less than 1 minute, of the importance of religious women wearing their religious habit. No sooner did I finish a sentence, then a nun in the front row of the chapel got up. I'm not teaching any factor to the Blessed Sacrament. Hope she did. All I know is, and I heard her heels. She marched out of chapel, and I allowed her heels to click the floor to dramatize the situation. The vestibule door of the chapel banged. And I continued with the conference. Thanks for staying here. How did he grow in our virtue of hope? By many acts of confidence. Cultivating habit. The moment somebody goes contrary to you, they immediately, 2 seconds is too long, immediately it will be just the word Jesus. Thirdly, how to grow in the virtue of supernatural hope. Resist discouragement. Hear it. As we've said and we know, there is the Holy Spirit, but there is also the unholy Spirit. And by now I've seen this. It is now a law for me. The more seriously and devoutly and generously a person is trying to serve God, the more the devil will tempt that person to discouragement. It's patented in hell. In other words, the one to become anxious, worried, discouraged, despondent, suspect the devil. Always question, answer, always, exclamation mark. Because as we know, discouragement leads to despondency. Despondency, less controlled, leads to despair. And of course, This is the bottom line of everything we're saying. Of course, there can be, what an easy verb, and they change it. There will be humanly impossible situations in our lives. That's precisely why we receive from the Holy Spirit at baptism the superhuman, the supernatural power to trust in God. He will, humanly speaking, the situation in our lives, maybe, and if your lives are like mine, they will be humanly hopeless. So what? That's why we have this superhuman power to trust in God. You will fulfill the promises you made. And in spite of the weakness, we have no doubt in ours. That's precisely why the more weak we are, the more hopeful we should be, because dear Lord, it is not our own strength that we rely on. That is madness. And here I could talk for hours. For example, you cannot read everything, say, in the newspapers, or watch everything on television, or engage in conversation with anyone you meet. You've got to be selective, my friends, not to allow what you may read, or see, or hear, to discourage you. I went to the Detroit Free Press for the Detroit News 7 days a week. I'd say 3 weeks would be enough. I would be tempted to despair. And the media are used by the evil spirit to discourage us. Avoid. I don't say thinking. Discouraging thoughts. Avoid reading. Avoid seeing. Avoid whatever is not necessary in your life that experience tells you is a temptation to discouragement. Am I clear? And this includes even some spiritual reading. And of course, in order to avoid discouragement, we must strengthen our trust. And the more wickedness we see, the more sin we will experience in our own lives or see in the lives of others, the more we reflect on the conditions in the Catholic Church in one diocese in America after another. Lord, what has happened from a Catholic church that I knew. I don't see in my childhood, but even, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Fourth recommendation for growing in the virtue of hope. Daily examination of conscience. First, thank God for the graces that He sends you. And I cannot repeat too often, the whole retreat could be painful graces. Every time the will of God crosses our wills, that's a grace. A gift from God, providing us with the opportunity of growing in hope. Then, if you've done wrong toward the examination of conscience, tell God you're sorry. And my custom is, I share this with you, when I do something which is contrary to the will of God, I try immediately to tell God, Lord, I've been a fool. I'll run in my room, fall on my knees, tell God, I'm sorry. And as we've said before, in reflecting on the examinations of conscience, plan. What you expect God to send you. See, the next day for me, the next half day. And strengthen yourself beforehand with grace by praying for the strength to sustain yourself. Not become worried, anxious, discouraged, or worse still, despondent over what is painful that you should expect. Finally, and again, the whole retreat could be on this number 5. The hope to grow in the virtue of hope. See God's providence in everything in your life. I have to keep telling myself this. I'm no less human than all of you are. I'm no less weak than you are. I'm no less spontaneously given to worry and anxiety and discouragement than you are. I know what I'm talking about. 50 years in the priesthood. I've struggled with too many people who had given up their hope. In God's mercy, I have saved enough lives. They were on the point of despair and suicide. Cultivate the habit of seeing God in everything, and that is not a pious platitude, in everything in your life. may sound like repetition, but it's not. Nothing ever happens, nothing, in our lives. The verb to happen, or the noun happening, is a pagan word. As Christians, nothing ever happens. Nothing. Nothing. Everything is part of God's, needless to say, mysterious providence. What are we saying? If we're going to grow in this hope, and remember the object of hope, the confident trust in the reach of a heavenly destiny, and the corresponding trust that God will provide us here on earth with the means we need to reach heaven. But we must go in our realization that everything, the most stupid things we've ever done, the worst sins we've ever committed,